The following service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, on Sunday, October 29, 2017, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to worship this morning. And it's wonderful to be here in the house of the Lord. It's a beautiful Sunday morning. We have to really appreciate this weather this late in the year. John 3:16-17 said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bring us into your presence and fill us with your Spirit. Bring us together in the name of Jesus, that in him we offer to you the spiritual service of prayer and thanksgiving, of proclaiming your work, and of sharing your gifts. Amen.
More time. A reading from the letter of Paul to the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. You yourselves know, brothers and sisters, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully mistreated at Philippi, as you know, we had courage in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in spite of great opposition. For our appeal does not spring from deceit or impure motives or trickery, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the message of the gospel, even so we speak not to please mortals, but to please God who tests our heart. As you know, and as God is our witness, we never came with words of flattery or with a pretext for greed, nor did we seek praise from mortals, whether from you or from others, though we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nurse tenderly caring for her own children. So deeply do we care for you that we are determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us. The word of God for the people of God.
Let's do a little Bible hopscotch. Turn to Matthew 28, verse 16. It's called the Great Commission. Before I can get into Paul's letter to the church at Thessalonica, to the Thessalonians, the people in Thessalonica, I've got to ask you the question, do you know why they went? Do you know why they proclaimed? Do you know what was the motivation behind Paul and the other apostles? And by the way, there was one apostolic age. There was one age of the apostle. There's not been another one. There's not another one. There was one. It was the age of the ones who Jesus, I say, double-dipped. He gave them, anointed them, and said, he breathed on them, said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And then again at Pentecost, when there were 70 there, he had given those first 12 special gifts. You can read that in Acts. You can read about the age of the apostles and the birth of the church, how they were given the gifts to even raise the dead. That is the end of the apostolic age with the death of the last of the apostles, who was John, we think. In the age of the apostles, the apostolic age, it ended. And we entered what age we are in today, and that is called the age of the church, or the church age. It is the birth of the church through the work of the apostles, empowered by the Holy Spirit and sent by God. And here is what motivated them. Here is what empowers them. And this is the great commission, not the great suggestion. This is what God is still calling us to do. It, too, should be the motivation for what we do. Number one, notice that Jesus tells them that all authority has been given to me, everything under heaven. All authority. That gives it, if you will, a punch. That gives it bite. That gives it authority. And he says, and Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go. It didn't say when you get ready. It didn't say if you'd like to. It didn't say when you think about it. It didn't say when it's convenient. He said, go. Where? Just to the ones that you know? Just to the ones that look like you, dress like you? If we did that this morning, I think, Greg, you and I are the only ones in a suit this morning. So we'd have to go get our own group, and let's see who else is in sweaters. You sweater people, you'd have to be in another group. And you shirt people, you'd have to be in another group. And some of you in T-shirts, you'd be in your own group. No, that isn't what he said, did he? He didn't go to say, he said, go into where? All. Say that with me, all. Everyone is worthy to hear the gospel message. We'll talk about that a little more in a minute. All nations, baptizing them. Baptism here symbolizes the acceptance of the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. This means they have accepted the message, baptizing them. Baptism comes as they had received Christ. And he says, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, empowering them, giving them the hierarchy that we know today and are familiar with, and the power to serve and the power to change, and teaching them to do what? As they want to. Teaching them to do as they please. Teaching them to take the Word of God and do as they will with it. Or maybe even write them a different version that suits them better. Or maybe do, what was it, Andrew Jackson, who cut out everything that Jesus didn't say out of his Bible so that you had this thing that looked like spaghetti wrappers? No, he says, go and teach them to do what? Obey. 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 From the beginning, it's been about obeying. God said, thou shalt not eat. There are some things that we should not do. There are some things that are not good for us. I was listening to Kathy tell the story about ask the kids about the bicycle. And I was thinking about remembering and learning to ride my first bicycle. I was stubborn. Cecil, I can't remember his last name, it just left. He had gotten me a bicycle in the 60s. Yeah, early. Really early. And he got me a bicycle, but it didn't have pedals on it. It had them little round rods that were left after the pedals fell off. Anybody remember those things? You know you were poor when you didn't have pedals. You just had little round rods. Anybody else have round rod pedals instead of pedals? I thought, sometimes you just couldn't get pedals to fit. So he got me this bicycle, and, man, I was tickled to death with it, and he put training wheels on it. Anybody ever have training wheels on their bicycle? Let me explain something to you. Teach that kid to ride them without it. Take the extra time, because when you put that bicycle into a hard left turn with training wheels, a wreck takes place. Because that training wheel gets up and it just ain't pretty. So it took a long time. Sometimes we got to take the training wheels off, church, and let them ride that bicycle. Do you know what's going to happen? They're going to fall down, and they're going to finally get it. But you know what else? They're going to fall down some more after they think they got it. Because the thing I learned was about the time I thought I could ride that bicycle, it rode me. I made me a jump. Anybody else do that? I made me a jump. I piled up some boards and sticks and got me a jump. And do you know the problem was my construction wasn't good because the jump fell through and the front wheel stuck in and me and the bicycle. And this thing had these big old tall handlebars. And I had these bruises, the prettiest blue bruises you ever seen, where those handlebars were stuck. I was stuck between the handlebars. I had to get up out of them. So just don't think after you learn how you won't have some problems in the future. And church, we need to know that about our own faith journey. And we need to know that about the faith journey of other people. We may think we know how to ride that bicycle, but just as soon as we think that, we may fall off, go too fast, forget to brake, not look. So Jesus says, go and teach them to obey all the things that I have taught you. So we have a job, church. Our job is to be teachers. Our job is to be disciple makers. He said to go make disciples. Dennis had some cornbread with mincemeat in it this morning back in the fellowship hall. And Carrie's going to tell you, I'm not a good cooker person. I can make some things, chili, things like that. But my problem is I don't know what spice goes with what other spice. I didn't know for a long time that you could substitute butter. You could put applesauce in there. Did you know that? I didn't. Lard? How many of you ever used lard? Crisco, pop the top, scoop it out. You can use applesauce. I didn't know that. So I'm not a good, I don't know what mixes up. Folks, we need to teach people. We need to know ourselves in order that we may teach others. The Great Commission inspired our disciples to preach the gospel and then to teach people to obey. What is the gospel message? This is it. Have you ever wondered what you're supposed to preach? Preaching is teaching. Have you ever wondered what is your message? get you something to write with. I'm going to tell you so you know what you're supposed to preach. This is it. It's summing it up. I'm going to do it in two sentences, no more. This is the message of every single Christian, not just the pastor. This is the message of Paul 2,000 years ago. It's been the message of every Christian since. Here is the message. It's simple. It's so simple a child can understand. What did Paul go to preach them? He said, not with lofty words and all that stuff. What did he go to preach them? Here's our preaching. Here's our sermon. Jesus is the Son of God who lived and died for your sins and rose again. Done. Done. It ain't about you at all. You didn't do anything except accept it. It's up to them to accept it too. That's the message, church. That's the gospel. Paul would say to the church of Corinth, I came to preach to you Christ alive, dead, and resurrected for salvation. Jesus is the Son of God. They have to accept that. They have to believe that. They have to believe in God. They have to believe that He's in His Son. And then they'll get the Holy Spirit. That's a gift. That's a gift. And it's unique for each and every one of us. So let's go over to 1 Thessalonians 2 now. Kind of got the introduction out of the way. Let's talk a little bit about 5 points this morning to this one. If you're keeping track of that sort of thing, you like to take notes, and I do. It helps me stay focused and not get distracted, but it helps me to do that, making disciples. Jesus says, go and make disciples. The first thing that is necessary for making disciples is they got to be ready to be taught. Hear me on this one. The first thing that has to be is a receptive heart. Jesus sent His disciples out, and He gave us a nice thing about this. He said, go and share, and if they receive, then stay with them and teach them. Stay with them and teach them. But if they do not receive, dust your feet off. Church, we ain't going to win them all. The Bible says, in the words of Jesus, wide is the path that leads to destruction, many they'll go by, but narrow is the path that leads to eternal life, and few there be find it. Folks, there's a lot of false religion out there. And I'm going to tell you today, religion will send you to hell. It's about a relationship with Jesus. Don't get caught up in the titles. Don't get caught up in the trappings. Don't get caught up in the rules and regulations, the boxes you got to check off. Stick with this one. The receptive heart, they received the message, but there was opposition. The first thing in making a disciple is you got to be willing to go and share the message. That's number one, the message. I gave it to you. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe that? Then you can move in to teaching them. But you got to be willing to go in and proclaim the gospel. Paul said, we went and there was opposition. You need to realize when you start telling people about Jesus, there's going to be opposition. Have you met it? You will, if you will. When you tell people about, people don't have a problem believing in God. A higher power or the powers that be or the Son God. They don't have a problem with God. It's this Jesus entity that gets them. It's the block called the stumbling block, the block the builders reject. It's Jesus. That's the gospel message. They have to receive that, and it is going to be met with opposition. And church, there's going to be times when we have to dust our feet off. You can't wear it out. They are not going to receive it. They're not going to receive it. They're not going to receive Jesus. The first thing in making disciples is having somebody ready to receive Him. And receiving Him. That's step number one, is meeting that opposition. Proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, not of Jim, not of somebody else. He said, we came and we preached you the gospel and you received it. That's step number one, is to go and declare the gospel, the message, Jesus. Don't go thinking you're going to be a success. How many have you have worked for somebody that it was all about the numbers? Oh, come on now. If you've ever worked, it's been about the numbers. I mean, did you know it's about numbers in the Methodist Church? Holy smokes. You ain't ever seen so many forms and figures and data calculations and stuff. They got to keep up with everything. We have committees that are studying the committees that are looking at the committees that are studying the data. It's crazy. It is absolutely crazy. We got this guy, Dennis. He's a great guy. Not this Dennis, but this at the conference level. And he's the statistician. Holy smokes, that man's brain burns my brain from 400 miles. Dennis can tell you every statistical piece of information. He can tell you whether this church is formed or whether we dotted the I's or crossed the T's or not. It's data. Some people worry about what other people say. Some people worry about, Carrie went hunting with me yesterday afternoon to go pick on her a little bit. She said, we're not going to go out and see anybody, are we? I said, I don't think where we're going we'll meet anybody. She said, good, because I sure don't want nobody to see me. Now, that's a little different. But how many of us are worried that people would call us a religious fanatic or a holy roller? Or, if they use their favorite word, they call us a hypocrite. Tell them about Jesus. Let them hold the ball. Don't worry about what they may say. Don't try to please humanity. Don't try to please the people. Don't try to please the masses. Stay with the message, simple and pure. Jesus is coming again. Jesus has came. Offers salvation. The power of the Holy Spirit. That's number two, is don't worry about what others are saying. Meet the opposition, but stay true to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. The third one is don't be doing it for self-gain. Don't try to get them in your clique. Don't try to get them in your group. Don't try to pull them in. Don't try to give them the message saying be part of your circle. Don't limit the message. Go out and share Jesus and let them be Christ-centered. Don't try to get your statistics up. There are denominations where they have to go out and witness, and we know what they are, and they have to do that because if they don't, they get strikes. They get points took off, and if they get somebody in the group, they get points added. And they get a better job, they get a better position, or they get recognition. They get pats on the back. Telling you, don't do that. It isn't about what man pays you back for. It's about Christ who keeps score in heaven where the Lamb's book and the names are written. That's what it's about. Don't do it for self-gain. A lot of people say, well, if we have more people, we can make more. No, let God fill it up. Let it be about God's purpose. If God's in it, God blesses it. But I need to warn you, sometimes the devil will bless it too. Because sometimes he can make it look pretty. Have you ever noticed? How many of you find your bed softer on Sunday than any other day of the week? I mean, honest and truly, are you ever sleeping so good as it is on a Sunday morning? I mean, windows is open at the house and it's cool. You just kind of snuggle in, right? Yeah, he makes it look good. What do you hear? Just a little longer. They won't miss me. I just stay home today. Or he'll do this. He'll wake you up early with a beautiful morning and say to you, well, I don't need to go down there. Doesn't he? Huh? Doesn't he tempt you? Doesn't he make things look good? Have you ever noticed everything that glitters isn't gold? Yeah, we got a thing called fool's gold. How many people went broke carrying that stuff into the surveyor's office? Yeah. He does that. He makes the bad look good. He makes sin look good. Oh, man, I remember out in the world getting drunk on Friday night and running around the bars a bit. I used to love to fight. I like to fight better than I like to eat. You can tell what I like now, don't you? Yeah. I did. I loved it back in the day of the world. Man, I owned the Rock Hut. That was my spot. I was at the end of the bar. You know what the problem with that is, don't you? You got to keep doing it because it's only yours while you're there. Somebody else's when you leave. Yeah. You know, he made it look good. I thought that, you know, have you ever been by one of these places in the daylight? Come on. You think I don't know things? They look horrible. Have you ever been to a restaurant and you just thought it was the best food in the world and you went by there the next day and you looked at the grease dripping out of the back door? Could see that night before. Everything glitters ain't gold, church. The devil will tempt you. He'll dangle a carrot in front of you. He'll tempt you with everything. Social status, friends, family, all kinds of social stuff. And he'll tempt you with vanities and all kinds of stuff. Everything glitters in gold. Be careful. When you're witnessing to people, don't let it be about self-gain. The next one is four. And you see it down as he talks about how he was gentle and caring. Making disciples has a cost. You're going to have to put skin in the game. Making disciples means that you have to get involved enough to care. Because I've got news for you. The old adage and the cliche today is they don't want to hear your message. They don't care about your message until they know you care about them. Do you hear me? You can tell them and look down your nose at them and everything else, but this just falls like water off duck's back. As soon as you'll take time to care, they'll listen. Maybe the first thing you need to do to them is say, I'm sorry you lost your mom, or I'm sorry you lost your dad. I'm so sorry that you're suffering. I'm so sorry you're struggling. Maybe they need to know you care. Instead of saying to them off the bat, well, if you knew Jesus, you wouldn't have to struggle right now. If your faith was stronger, you could rejoice in the Lord always. It takes a little while to get there, church. They don't care. But tender and gentle. That's four. Part of four is caring. Do we really know how to do that anymore? Do we? Have we gotten too busy to care? The power of presence, the power of just being there, the power of just listening, the power of taking the time, going out of the way, getting out of our comfort zones and our boxes to care. Which brings us to the fifth one, final one. This one really put skin in the game. Did you see what he said right now? Because we cared enough about you that we were willing to give ourselves. The fifth one in making disciples is you got to be willing to give of yourself. You got to be real, church. Do you know what teenagers say about us, old folks? Trinity, bless your heart. I think you're the only teenager here that I spot anyway. We're not real. Oh, yeah, we have two. That we're not real. That we're not real. We're out of touch. We don't understand. Do you hear what it's saying? We're not caring. We're not trying to understand. We're not willing to get out of our box. And I struggle with it, I have to be honest. Do you know why I struggle with it? I've been there. I've been there. I was a teenager too. It's been a long time ago. And yes, Trinity, they had cars and televisions. We didn't have cell phones. They pick on me. She'll say every once in a while, she'll say, Papa, did you have electricity when you were growing up? We didn't have an inside toilet, but we had electricity. We had four light bulbs. We didn't have any outlets in the wall. That come later. Daddy ran the wire around the outside of the house, drilled a hole through, and mounted a receptacle on the inside of the wall. That was our electricity. Because our wall didn't have 2x4s, it was boards. It's what's called a sawmill shack. You ain't never been in one, have you? You seen them, Greg? They don't have framing. The board holds the wall. It is the wall. And you know what you insulate it with, don't you? Newspaper. Layers of newspaper. It's the way it was. So yes, we had electricity. We just didn't have inside plumbing. We had to take baths in a dish pan about this big, heated the water on a wood cook stove. God, I'm old, aren't I? No, we was just poor. It ain't that you're old. It's just what you... You ever heard the phrase, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater? Do you know where that come from? The older people took baths first in the same tub. Well, Daddy worked at a coal mine or on the farm. Guess how dirty that water was? Mama took one next, and then everybody else took one. Guess who got the last bath? You can lose it in that dirty water if you weren't careful. So you had to be careful. That was the phrase that come out. But we've got to be willing to give of ourselves. Let's recap them real quick. Number one, the gospel message. It's simple. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We accept that. The second is making disciples means you've got somebody that's willing. But you've got to know what the ingredients are that's necessary. And the only way you know that is right here. You got to be in the Word. You got to study the Word. So that second one is to declare the gospel. First one, I mean. Be willing to take the opposition for that. It happens. The second one, don't worry about what other people are thinking. If they don't receive your message, dust it off. Move on. Somebody will. Somebody will. The third one, don't do it for self-gain. Don't do it for numbers and statistics. Don't do it for any other reason than to please God. Don't worry about pleasing man. I don't worry about pleasing the conference people and all that stuff. I give up on that about 20 years ago. I figured out the first year I was in ministry, there was no way that would happen. Because the more you do, the more they won't. The larger your numbers, the more they have to go. I figured I better get this back on God and let the rest of it take care of itself. Fourth one, be gentle. Truly gentle and caring. Take time to understand and learn. And the last one is be ready to give yourself. You'll have to put skin in the game. So what will making disciples cost you? You got to be willing to be vulnerable, to give of yourself. You got to be willing to fall off the bicycle and get back on. You got to be willing to meet opposition with grace and mercy, not judgmentalness and argumentation. What is the key to all of this that helps us the most? We have to believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and hold on to His truth. For it's that truth that sets us free. And if Christ sets us free, we are free indeed. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Reflect on making disciples. It's what we're called to do. It isn't a suggestion, church. We're saved that we would share the message. We're blessed that we would be a blessing. We've been forgiven that we may forgive. All the things that we have received from Christ, we're to share in our outreach, in our ministry, in our daily life, and in the message that we take into the world around us. The cost of discipleship is what it cost Jesus. We have to be willing to give it all. Does that mean we'll have to? Maybe. Maybe not. But we have to, like Abraham, be willing to follow God, to please God. How do we please God? By telling them about His Son. By giving them the opportunity to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's our message, church. For He is truly the way, the truth, and the life. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The Wesley question I share with you today, how is it with your soul, yours? Are you at peace in your heart and in your faith journey? Is there unsettledness about your calling, your ministry, and your outreach? Are you unsure of which way to go? Then to keep the message simple, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Pastor, there's stuff going on in my life. I just need extra prayers this week. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? Take it right back down. Amen. Pastor, I want to be a better witness, but I've got to get some stuff together in my own life before I can. Would you pray for me this week? Slip your hand up. Amen. Pastor, this giving of myself and this putting skin in the game, it's hard. I want to, but I'm scared to. Would you pray for me this week? Slip your hand up. I want to pray this week. Amen. Amen. Pastor, the message is simple, but it's not simple. Pray for me this week that I can be in the Word and feel the Holy Spirit guiding me in that. If that's you, amen. Pastor, I'm sharing the message, but sometimes I just feel like it's going nowhere. Pray for me that I wouldn't be discouraged. If that's you, slip your hand up. Amen. Pastor, I'm just struggling with stuff this week, needed extra prayer. If that's you, slip your hand up. If you'll pray for each other this week, will you slip your hand up this morning? Amen. Our gracious and loving God, we've asked many questions. We've come to you for help, for answers, for presence. And Father, you promised them at the end of that great commission that you would be with them always, even to the end of the age. And Father, today you promise us the same thing. We can look back in history and see that you were with them. We can see the martyrs that fell along the way and that you were with them. We can see the great revivalists and that you were with them. Father, we see evidence that you have been, that you are, and that you will be with us then, now, and in the future. So, Father, let us serve you this week. Let us bring it all before you and trust in you. And let us, Father, put some skin in the game to tell people about our Lord, our Savior, our Jesus. Hear our hearts and hear our prayers and let us trust in you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Plead for the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save.
May we go as the body of Christ to make disciples, fulfilling that commission as Christ calls each one of us, particularly, individually, and uniquely into His service. Not only does He call us, but He equips us, and He empowers us, and He promises to be with us always. He gives us the window of witness and the opportunity of words. Worry not for what you might say, for the Holy Spirit will give you words. Now may we go to know Christ in us, with us, and working through us. In His love, by His grace, and in His mercy, may we go to share in the world around us the good news. May you go now in peace. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rocksprings.umc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.